It is incredible to believe that New York still has not opened in phase one. With everything we know now about how this virus spread and everything that went on, it's incredible to me that New York City remains, well, not open for business. Small companies shut down, shuttered for months now, told they can't get together because it's not safe. And yet, protesters are allowed to gather in the streets by the thousands. Rioters are let to run wild, while business owners are allowed to die on the vine. Pretty incredible, not to mention that churches remain closed. Can't congregate in a church, but you can certainly congregate in front of, well, City Hall or Trump Tower if you hate the president or have complaints about racism or something of that nature. You can do basically anything you want. Bill de Blasio is possibly the worst mayor in the history of New York City. In fact, I'm pretty sure he is. Maybe the worst mayor in the history of the nation. Bill de Blasio is, as they say, is god-awful. He's an idiot. He's an imbecile. He's a guy who has no clue as to what's going on in his own city. Has no clue what's going on in his own city. And he has the gall to defend the rioters over those that would attend church on Sunday. I can't make that up. It's bite number 8 with Mayor Bill de Blasio. Go.
But this is the other piece of the equation. When you see a nation, an entire nation, simultaneously grappling with an extraordinary crisis seated in 400 years of American racism, I'm sorry, that is not the same question as the understandably aggrieved store owner or the devout religious person who wants to go back to services.
You know, for the record, there isn't 400 years of American racism. By definition, that's not possible. The country's only been here for 250 years. And slavery, which they keep going back to in the 1619 Project and other such ill-advised alleged works of academia, they keep going back to blaming America for what the nations did that were here before us. Britain, Spain, France. Slavery was here. We inherited that institution. And 80 years later, we ended that institution with a civil war that cost 650,000 Americans their lives. We fought a war to end slavery in this country. And yet those on the left would have you believe, would have people believe, that it continues to this day. Is there institutional racism? Certainly there has been. Is the racism today the way it's described on CNN and MSNBC? No. No, it's not. Not at all, in fact. Is this world perfect? Is the country perfect? No, it's not. But it's the closest thing we've ever gotten in this world, the longest functioning government of any sort, where its founders, although flawed, had set their sights on liberty and freedom and the individual and the right to pursue your own course and to pursue your own happiness. And out of those documents came the opportunity to create true freedom for the civil rights movement to occur. Those events were born of the original documents of this country, written, yes, by brilliant, albeit flawed individuals like Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson and Madison and Monroe and Franklin and Abigail Adams, frankly, and not her husband, were brilliant individuals who understood liberty and freedom and the God-given rights that we have. Were they perfect in their founding? No, but they set the stage for freedom that has persisted now for 250 years and has brought more freedom to more people around the world than any other government in the history of this world. That's why America is great, because our documents are fabulous. And are we perfect? No, but we're damn close. And we have been. And so when we allow the hatred to foment, because it's perpetuated and these lies are pushed and perpetuated by academia and championed by the media, we have to push back and tell the truth. And right now, we need to stop the lawlessness in our streets, much of which has been quelled, much of which has been pulled back in, but much, as we know now from 3 more police officers in New York being attacked, 1 stab, 2 shot, that we have challenges still before us. Ted Cruz yesterday at the Senate laid out pretty clearly how we should handle the lawlessness in America. In his estimation, and I happen to agree, it's bite number five with Ted Cruz. Bite five. Go.
And the message that needs to come clear, loud and clear, from every elected official: if you engage in violence, if you engage in looting, if you destroy shops, if you shatter windows, if you light police cars on fire, if you commit acts of violence, if you physically assault your fellow citizens, if you physically assault police officers, if you kill your fellow citizens, if you kill police officers, you will be prosecuted. You will be prosecuted, and you will go away to jail for a very, very long time.
And that's the way it should be. That is the way it should be. Cruz saved his harshest words, though, for Antifa. These anarchists who believe they have some claim to this higher moral ground, which of course they do not. They're communists. Their ideology is the root cause of millions of deaths across this world over the last 100 years. Bite six from Ted Cruz. Let's get to this real quick. Bite number six.
This week, the president rightly announced that Antifa would be designated as a terrorist organization. That means that we can use law enforcement resources to track down. If you are providing funding and organizing, you will be prosecuted. We will use the RICO laws against you, the same laws that take down drug dealers. If you're handing out bricks to young African-American men trying to incite them to commit acts of violence, that's a criminal activity. It's also a cynical, bigoted activity.
It is cynical and bigoted and criminal. We're going to clean up our act, though. It's the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gruber Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.